Thank you so much, Jessica. It's wonderful to be able to stand up now and give a testimony after those wonderful words about hallelujah, what a saviour. And it's my saviour that I'm along here to talk about tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ. But before I go there, we have just returned from Belarus. We're over there, and it's great to be in Lurgan tonight. And thank you so much to Pastor Lyle for the invitation to come along tonight and to tell you how I came to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ and to know him as my Saviour and Lord. We just got back from Belarus, as I said, and it's great to be in Lurgan because everywhere I seem to be the last couple of weeks, there's snow everywhere. And we were in Belarus and we were snowed into the church. We couldn't even move. About 2 to 3 feet of snow fell over there. We work among the sick and the elderly over there, and just recently God has opened a door into an underground prison for the gospel, and we were able to leave Bibles into the hands of the prisoners within that underground prison. We also work in Ukraine. We work in about 20 prisons out there in Ukraine. We work with orphanages, hospitals, schools. We have a Christian school over there. God is moving in so many, many great ways, and it's just a blessing, not only to be saved, but to be able to stand and serve the Lord Jesus Christ today. There's some newsletters out there, just hot off the press, we just got back a couple of days ago, so they're fresh, all fresh news for you. And as Pastor Lyle was saying, my testimony is in a book, and all the miracles that God has been performing through his provision for Faith in Action Missions. Victor Maxwell put this into paper just a year ago, and we'll not talk about prices or anything like that. If you want one, take one. They're out at the door. And in true Scotsman style, there's an envelope with an address on it, but no stamp. But you'll forgive me for that. Whatever you see fit to put into the envelope and just send it for the Lord's work over there in Ukraine and in Belarus. Before we go any further, can we just open up the Word of God, please? At the book of Ezekiel, it's just a short reading that God spoke to me through the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. When he was saving me, he was speaking to me through this portion of Scripture. Ezekiel, chapter 36. And we'll start the reading at verse 23. Ezekiel, chapter 36, and beginning at verse 23, where the Word of God says, "And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God." Let's just pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy precious word, that thy word is forever settled in heaven. We thank thee, Father, that faith still cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Father, we pray tonight that you will give us ears to hear, that you will give us eyes to see, and Father, that you will give us hearts that would be respondent to the word of God, to the call of the gospel. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Father, we pray for the ones within this building tonight, still outside of Christ. Father, we pray that you will speak to them tonight, and that you will glorify your own great name and the salvation of precious souls. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, Donald Fleming, my name is, and I'm sure you can tell by now that I'm not from these shores. I was born in Scotland, a wee place called Loch Lomond, just about 10 minutes from Loch Lomond, a place called Dumbarton. And I was born and brought up into a Roman Catholic family over there. And it was a Roman Catholic family with problems, mainly alcohol problems. Mother and father were a wee bit fond of the drink, and the surrounding family circle were more or less the same. But even though those early problems existed in my family, my mother always tried to bring me up to be a good little Catholic boy, and she would send me along to the chapel whenever she could. She would send me along on the Saturday mornings, and I would go to the confessions, and I would confess my sins to the priest, and he would then tell me to go in peace, that everything was okay, and my sins were forgiven, and everything was okay. But looking back, that was one thing that never ever happened to me. I don't ever remember having left the confessional box with peace in my heart, with peace in my life, knowing that my sins were now forgiven and that everything was okay for me for the future. As you know, Roman Catholics didn't have Bibles then. Maybe I don't know how they get them now. I don't know if they read them now or not. But I know in my younger days that Roman Catholics were never encouraged to get a Bible, to read a Bible. So we didn't know that the Word of God said, who can forgive sins but God only? That the priest neither has the power nor the right to listen to any man's confession when he is a sinner himself. My mother would also send me along to the chapel on a Sunday for the Mass. And I found myself sitting in the chapel midweek before I went into school. The school was just next door to the chapel. So I would find myself sitting in the chapel early in the morning. I would leave the house early in the morning because of the problems, because alcohol had lots of problems with it. And there was lots of problems within my family. So I would leave for school early. I would go into the chapel and just sitting in the chapel sometimes, many times, just on my own in the darkness of that huge building, just sitting there talking to Mary or talking to one of the saints and asking them for help within my young life. But, you know, I don't ever remember having any answers to my prayers. And this was one of the things that started me to doubt the Roman Catholic faith, because we're encouraged to pray to many things within the Roman Catholic faith. And as I was praying to icons and crucifixes and Mary and saints and anything really, as I was praying to these things, I wasn't receiving any comeback from them. Because my life hadn't changed, my family's life hadn't changed, my father was still an alcoholic, my mother enjoyed to drink too much, and nothing was changing in my life. And that led me to start questioning that practice. And, you know, I started to question, what is happening? Why are these things not answering me? Do they really hear me? Can those things hear me? Does Mary hear me? Because nothing's changing. God didn't answer me then, but God answered me when I got saved. And he answered me through his word. He showed me Psalm 115. And he said that these things that you're praying to, they have ears, but they can't hear. He said they have eyes, but they can't see. They have a mouth, but they can't speak. They have hands and feet, but they can't handle, they can't touch. And he said, and those who make them and those who worship them are just like unto them. That was God's answer to me. You can pray to them if you want, but they can't hear you and they can do absolutely nothing for you or for anybody else. And I want to just say this in passing. If you're a Roman Catholic and you're just visiting here tonight, praise the Lord. I know I was there. You have to stop praying to these things because they can't hear you and they can certainly do nothing for you. I started to move on in my life as I started to come out of the Roman Catholic Church because of that main practice. And I joined the army in those days. I was just before my 18th birthday and I joined the army just to get away from all the problems within my family at that time. And guess where they sent me? They sent me to Northern Ireland for a couple of years. I thought it was for a holiday until I arrived here. But I came to Northern Ireland in 1974 with the army. And I actually finished my time with the army over here in 1976. And when I left the army, out of the frying pan into the fire, I joined the RUC. And for the next 24 years, I would be in the RUC. I met my wife here. I got married to Jacqueline, and God blessed us with three great daughters. But by this time, I had inherited this alcohol problem of my father, and I married into a Christian family. Although Jacqueline herself wasn't a believer, her mother and father and two sisters were believers. So it was a bit of a shock for that lovely Christian family, for this drunken Roman Catholic Scotsman to marry one of their daughters. And really, it really was a bit of a shock to them then, but I'll not go into that. But they were so gracious, and they were so kind, and they were so loving, and the love of God came through in their lives towards me. And I started to see a family that I had never witnessed before. I had never seen a family like this ever after the family that I had been brought up in. But I was in the police now, and 24 years I was in the RUC. For 18 of those years, I worked with Ian Paisley, looking after Ian Paisley, helping him, looking after him and his family. And Mr. Paisley and his family, I just found another wonderful Christian family, a really nice family who helped me in many different ways. Even though they knew that I had an alcohol problem in those days, they were so gracious and they were so loving and so helpful to me in my life at that time. And then I get moved from East Belfast. I get moved to Dundonald Police Station. And it was while I was there that my life was going to take a new road. I was there maybe about a year whenever this young man was transferred from West Belfast. And Joe, he came to work in Dundonald also. And the moment that Joe put his foot into Dundonald Police Station, he just told everybody, "I'm a born-again Christian." And everybody laughed at him for his boldness. He just nailed his colours to the mast right away, because the police is a very difficult place to be a Christian. It wasn't until I got saved that I found Christians scattered all over the battlefield. And it's a very difficult place because certain things are expected of you by your colleagues, and if you don't do them, then it can be difficult for you. But this young man came along, and immediately he just nailed his colours to the mast right away. "I'm a born-again Christian." They all laughed at him. And I laughed at him too. And when the laughing stopped, I said to myself, "What's a born-again Christian?" I had never heard of this before. I certainly didn't know what it meant. And it was while I was working with Joe. Joe would be very close to me in those days. And he travelled from Newton Ards, the same as me, to Dundonald, and we shared the same car. And every moment that Joe got, he would have told me that the Lord Jesus Christ loved me and died for me upon the cross. He would witness to me daily. And then after about 2 years of working with him, one day I was working with him in Dundonald, and I had been drinking again. And he had fell out with me. He wasn't talking to me this day. And it was great. He wasn't trying to force his Jesus on me. He wasn't trying to tell me about this Jesus who loved me and died for me. After all, I knew how to get to heaven. The priest told me all I have to do is so many good works and help the old lady across the road and work in the charity shop in the chapel, and one day I would be okay. So I thought I knew how to get to heaven. But this day, as I was sitting with him and he wasn't talking to me, it was actually his silence that spoke to me, believe it or not. And as I looked at him, I started to see a young policeman who was completely different from all the policemen that I had met at that time. He didn't use bad language, he didn't smoke, he wasn't a drinker, he wasn't a gambler. You know, his life was different. He would read his Bible, he would go to churches and speak, and different things like that. And it led me to ask him the first question that I had ever asked anyone about a spiritual matter. And I says, "Joe, when you came here, you told everybody that you were a born-again Christian." He said, "That's right." I said, "What does that mean? What is a born-again Christian? What does it mean to be born again?" And this is what he told me. And I want to tell you exactly what he told me, because I don't know if you're saved. I don't know if you're a visitor here tonight and you're not saved. But I want you to listen, because this is what he told me. He said, "First of all, do you believe, do you realize in the eyes of God that you're a sinner?" And I said, "Yes, I know I'm a sinner." If one thing the Roman Catholic Church teaches you is that you're a sinner, because you have to go to confessions every week. I said, "So yes, I know that I'm a terrible sinner in the eyes of God." And friends, I want to ask you the same question. Do you realize that you are a sinner? Because the Bible tells us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Every man, woman, child, every person who has ever been born, with the exception of Jesus Christ himself, has been born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So I said, "Yes, I believe that I'm a sinner." Do you? Do you believe that you're a sinner? Secondly, he says, "Do you believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world and died upon the cross for your sins?" I said, yes, I do believe that Jesus Christ came into the world and died. But why would he die for me? Friends, do you realize that? That Jesus Christ came into the world and he died for the sins of the world. But you can even make it personal. That's what he told me. That he died for you upon the cross. And I said, well, I don't know about dying for me, but I know he died upon the cross. He said, thirdly, do you believe that he rose again from the dead the third day? I said, yes, I believe that. And friends, I'm asking you the same question. Do you realize that you are a sinner? Do you believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died upon the cross for your sins? And do you believe that he rose again from the dead the third day? I answered yes to all of them. And he says to me, Donald, all you need to do now is pray and accept Jesus Christ into your life. Tell God how sorry you are for the life that you've led. You now believe in His Son. You believe that he loves you, that he died for you, that he rose again from the dead. Confess your sins to God. You don't have to go to a priest. You don't have to go to another man. He said, just pray to God and accept Jesus Christ into your life and live your life for Jesus Christ, with Christ right at the center of your life. And I said, but the priest told me I had all these things to do. He said, Donald, he says, Jesus has done it all. He said, there's nothing more to be done. Jesus has done it all. He died upon the cross for your sins. And I went home that day, and he had given me a little booklet home with me. And Jacqueline was in hospital. The three girls were out playing in the garden. And I remember sitting that night at home, and it was a little book called Sin, the Savior, and Salvation. And I sat at home and I started to read it. It was only a thin book. And I came through this book and it talked about how that I was a sinner and that because of my sin, I was going to hell. But God loved me so much that he sent his Son into this world, who came in, took my sins to the cross and died for my sins upon the cross. And that if I would believe in him and trust in him and accept him into my life and live for him, I would be in heaven with them one day. I came to the end of that little book, and it said, if you want to trust in Christ, just pray this prayer. Now, I'm ashamed to tell you that, because I didn't know how to pray. I just hadn't a clue. I had prayed to Mary. I had prayed to statues. I had prayed to crucifixes. I had prayed to icons. But here I was being asked to pray to God Almighty. And how do you do that? I didn't know. So I prayed this little prayer of repentance because there was one thing I did know. I wanted Jesus in my life. My life was a mess. It was upside down. I was causing all sorts of problems for my family through the alcohol and other things. The one thing I did know, I didn't know how to pray, but I knew I wanted my life changed. And I believed what Joe had told me, that Jesus Christ is the only one that can change it, because I tried numerous times to change my life. Lasted 2 or 3 weeks or a few months and back into the old ways again. So I knew that I couldn't change my life, and I was totally reliant and desperate that Jesus Christ could do so. I tried everything else. Jesus Christ was the last one. That was my only hope. And that night I prayed that prayer. I trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. I went into the kitchen. I poured the bottle of vodka down the sink and I went to bed. And I woke up the next morning and I said, Lord, I need your help. I said, I can't do this on my own. I need you with me as I go to work this morning. I went to work and immediately Joe was there. I told Joe that I had trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was absolutely over the moon that his friend had become a believer. He went out and bought me my first Bible. I never had a Bible in my life. And he bought me my first Bible and I opened it. And you know something? Isn't this a precious, special book? You know something, see, when I was a Roman Catholic, I never had a book like this before. I didn't know that Jesus Christ had died for my sins in the way that the Bible taught me. I didn't know that he was coming back again. I knew nothing. And you know something, I remember when I was young, it just comes back to my memory here, that a lot of my young friends were Roman Catholic and a lot were Protestant. And I remember one Sunday, we were all about 10 or 11 years of age, and I says to my friends, because he disappeared at certain times on a Sunday, the Protestant ones, I said, where do you all disappear to? They says, we go to Sunday school. I said, what's that? They says, we hear about Jesus. And I said, I would love to go there. I would love to hear these stories about Jesus. But my mother wouldn't let me. And the Roman Catholic family wouldn't allow you to go to a Sunday school. So young people, don't ever take it for granted. You cherish and love your Sunday school teachers and the stories and the teaching of God's word, because it's very special and it's very, very precious. There's many children today and they're not hearing the things that you're hearing. And then the teenagers, you have a Bible class. You're so privileged to be able to come into a church where the truth of God's word is taught, where the Bible is opened, and you can learn all about what our wonderful Savior did through his life, and how that God created the heavens and the earth and everything that's in them. You're really privileged people. And don't ever take it for granted. And cherish it, and listen to your teachers, and listen to what the word of God is saying to you. We didn't have those opportunities in that day. And when Joe bought me my first Bible, I just fell in love with my Bible. And I ended up reading it for 17 hours for the next 6 years. 17 hours a day for the next 6 years. I just couldn't stop reading the Bible. I just wanted to read it. I wanted to find out who this great, great God was who would send his son into this world and to die that horrific death that he died because of what I had done. And, I just loved the Word of God. And for the next 6 years, that was one of the things I was so intent on finding out why God would love me the way he does. Jacqueline came out of hospital a few days after this, and she took one look at me and she says, "Well, what have you been up to? You look as though you've been up to no good as usual." And I says, "Well, as a matter of fact, while you were in hospital," I said, "I became a Christian." And do you know what she did? She laughed at me. Just as I laughed at Joe, and we all laughed at Joe, he was my own wife laughing at me. And she said, if only you would become a Christian, God could help you. She knew because she'd seen it in her family. Although she wasn't a Christian, she knew what God could do in my life. And it wasn't for a few days. I mean, everything had changed in my life immediately. The alcohol problem went, and lots of other things went. Don't worry, I've still got lots of faults and lots of things that I do wrong and say wrong. But you know, the problems that I had then, God was taking them away, was working on them. And Sunday was approaching. I was even reading a Bible, a thing that she had never seen before. And Sunday was approaching, and I said, "I have to get to a church. I must get to a church." Have you ever thought of this? When a Roman Catholic saved, where do they go? Because it's only one church when they're a Roman Catholic. But when you come out, you're faced with these thousands of churches. Where do you go? That was my problem now. Sunday was approaching. I says to Jacqueline, "I have to go and buy a suit." She says, "Why?" I says, "Christians wear nice suits when they go to church." And she looked at me, and I think she believed me for the first time, because she knew a Scotsman wouldn't part with money that easy. Sunday came. The only church I knew existed was Movilla Methodist Church. That was the only church that I knew. And the only reason I knew about that one was because the minister used to come to my house to encourage Jacqueline to send the girls to the Brownies and the different organizations like that. And one of the times I was in the house with a bit of drink in me, and he called me a bad father because I wouldn't take part in sending them to the Brownies. So I threw him out of the house and I told him not to come back. Now, that was the only church I knew, so it wasn't a great start with the pastor, really, was it? I went along that Sunday morning, and he took one look at me in horror, and he says, "Why are you here?" And I said, "The Lord has saved me." I said, "I'm saved." He says, "Praise the Lord, come in." And for the next few weeks, I was there until the Lord spoke to me and sent me to Newton Ayres Baptist Church. But by then, I was really on fire for God. I wanted to do everything that I could for him. I wanted to read everything there was to read about him, and so on and so on. Jacqueline came to faith 3 weeks after me when she heard about the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. She put her trust in the Lord, and two of my daughters trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything was happening within my family just at that time. Then God spoke to me about my family in Scotland. He reminded me that I have a family over in Scotland who needed his help. So he sent me over, and it happened to be the funeral of my grandmother. And we were going to have to go back into the chapel again. And for Jacqueline, this was going to be a big ordeal because she had never been in a chapel before. And we were there. I told her, "Look, don't do anything. Just come with me. Do what I do." I said, "Which is nothing." We're there to pay our last respects to my grandmother. I said, so we go in, we don't sing, we don't kneel down, we don't pray, we don't do anything. And we went in and we got through the service okay, which was difficult. But at the end of the service, my father came to me and said, you've brought shame upon the family. Go away. We never want to see you again. Never ever come back here again. And I said, why? What have I done wrong? They said, we don't know what's happened to you, but strange things are happening to you. We don't like what we see. You're just a different person. And we no longer want you as a son. So go away and never return here again. And I found that so difficult at that time. I wasn't long saved. And here I was, is this the problems that following Christ brings upon you? And I thought to myself, if it is, I'm taking my stand for Jesus Christ, because he has changed my life. He has changed my family's life in the year that I know him and love him. I said, so no matter what I have to lose here, it's going to be worth it just to follow Christ. And in those days, although it was difficult, they wouldn't speak to me. I couldn't get in touch with them. God drew close to me in a very real and a very, very special way. You know, Psalm 27, I think it's verse 10, tells us that when father and mother forsake us, then God will take us up. And you know something, brothers and sisters, that's exactly what God did for me. In those days when I found it so difficult to talk to my mother or my father, the Lord drew alongside me and he encouraged me through his precious word, and he helped me over those days. And my father told me, the next time you hear from anybody, somebody else will be dying. That's the only time we want to speak to you. So I heard that my mother was dying. She had cancer. And we went over to the family home again. Jacqueline and I went over to the family home. And I remember looking at my mother as she lay on the bed. As she lay in the bed, I took her by the hand and I spoke to her. I said, Mom, I said, can you hear me? Because I had opportunities to tell her that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Because by now, my mother had stopped drinking. She was a devout Roman Catholic now. She was in chapel 7 days a week. She was working in the charity shop 6 days a week. She was trying to earn her salvation. And I was trying to talk to her, but she reported me to the priest. And the priest said, he's found God. The priest could tell her that I had found God, but he didn't know how to tell her how to find God. And I tried to talk to her as she lay in the bed, but there was nothing. I said, Mom, I said, if you can still hear me, I said, remember, you just have to trust in Jesus. Just believe in him. We don't need anything else. But there was nothing. And my father walked out of the house, and I remember walking out and standing beside him, and he said, has she gone? And I said, no. And as I said, no, the Spirit of God says to me, go back. And I went back into the room again, and I just took her by the hand. And brothers and sisters, I told you, I didn't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray. I still really don't know how to pray. But at that time, I prayed the prayer of a desperate man. All I could see was my mother slipping out into a lost eternity. She was slipping out into hell. And I took her by the hand and I just prayed. I said, Father, please honor your promises to me. I said, you've made me promises through your word. Please honor your promises. I says, you've promised me household salvation. Please help my mother. She doesn't know. Give her one more opportunity to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I was talking to him, I was trembling because I thought God would strike me down dead, really, for talking to him like this, to honor his promises and calling upon him to do this. And nothing happened. You know, he didn't strike me down dead. Do you know why? Because God loved me. And more than that, he loved my mother. Even though she was a terrible sinner, so close to hell, he still loved her. And as I called upon his name to help her, 20 minutes later, she just opened her eyes. And the first thing she says to me was, Donald, I've trusted in Jesus. She put her trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know something? It was such a special, special moment to see my mother coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because it was such a difficult, difficult time. But to see her repenting, and she lasted for another week, which meant we had times of fellowship together, a thing that my mother would never have done outside the Roman Catholic Church. to sit down and to talk to her and to share daily readings. And the night that she was passing away, my sister said, "Mum, do you want me to get the priest?" Now, you'll know that within the Roman Catholic family, there's a very unhealthy respect for the priest. It was the same in my family. And my sister said, "Mum, do you want me to get the priest?" And you know what she said? "I don't need him." Do you know why she didn't need him? Because she now had the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And it was music to my ears when I heard her saying that. It was as though God was just confirming her salvation to me. And what a moment it was just to hear that. She slipped away. We didn't enjoy a relationship on earth because of sin and because of all the old drinking problems and so on and so on. But thank God, and I just say thank you, Lord, tonight for saving my mother. Give me another opportunity. I'll see her in heaven again one day. You know, and as I got thinking about it later on, after she had passed away, I started to thinking about my mother's salvation that night, because she was so close to a lost eternity. She was so close to hell. She had been trusting in Mary all her life, you see. She had been trusting in the saints. She had been trusting in the priest. She had been trusting in all the miracles of Rome and Fatima and all these other places. And she had been trusting in her own good works. And there was a lot of them. But God brought her to a point in her life. He brought her right down to death's door. And that's what God will do sometimes to get her attention. Well, he certainly got her attention. Because I believe that she got to the stage where she was and there was no priest anymore. She couldn't find a priest. Mary wasn't anywhere to be seen. She didn't know if she had done enough good works. And then, thank God, the Lord brought it back to her remembrance. It's only through Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father except through him. And she remembered these things, I believe, just so close to death. God brought them back to her, where she realized for the first time at 74 years of age, it's not through me. It's not through my works. It's not through Mary or the saints. It's through Jesus Christ. And she repented. She put her trust in the wonderful Savior that I have tonight. And friends, I want to ask you, just before we close, what is it that you're trusting in? Maybe you're trusting in a good bank account. Maybe you think that because you've got money in the bank that everything's good and you're just okay. I remember doing door-to-door in Newton Ards one night, and I knocked this door. I said, "Excuse me, I'm from Newton Ards Baptist Church." I said, and he says to me, "Stop." He says, "What do I need God for?" He said, "Look at the size of this house, it's mine. Those two cars in the driveway are mine." He says, "I've got a great job and I've got money in the bank. Can you tell me what I need God for?" And friends, sadly, that's what many people think and that's what many people say today. What do I need God for? I'll tell you what you need God for. It tells us in the Bible that after death, the judgment. And if you haven't got Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to know what you're going to need God for then, all right. So friends, let me encourage you, don't be taking it that far. God has given you an opportunity tonight, like he has in the past, many, many opportunities to get right with God. Don't be trusting in the wealth that you have in the bank. Don't be trusting in your education. Don't be trusting in your position in society or that position that you've got in work. None of them will do you any good. They might give you a few pounds more to enjoy a wee holiday here and then. But they're certainly not going to do you any good as far as salvation goes. If you die, just like my mother almost did, she almost died and passed out into hell and onto a lost eternity. Why? Because she was trusting in all the wrong things. She needed Jesus. And friends, I want to tell you that that's exactly what you need. You need Jesus Christ in your life. You don't need more money. You don't need a bigger house or a better car. You need the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive your sins, and you need him as your Savior, and you need him as your Lord. That portion of Scripture that we read tonight, it came alive to me the night that I trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he says to me, one of the first things that he was going to do was he was going to take me out from among the heathen. And that's one of the first things that God did for me. All of the drinking partners and all of the men that led me astray for years, and I led them astray also, He took me out from among them. And I often used to wonder, if you become a Christian, you lose your friends, what happens then? You're quite a lonely life. Not at all. God gives us more friends, better friends, Christian friends. So that was one of the first things that he does. He takes you out from the ones that have led you astray all those years, and God will give you a new start. He says, I'll take you and I'll cleanse you. I'll cleanse you from all your idolatry, for all the times that you've prayed to Mary, for all the times that you've prayed to the statues and the saints. I'll cleanse you from all of that. I'll cleanse you from all of your sin. And then he says to me, I'm going to take that hard heart away from you, that heart of stone. He says, I'm going to take that away. And you know, friends, some of us really do have hearts as cold as marble, don't we? They become so hard, they become so callous. But God says, don't worry about that. I'll perform a spiritual heart transplant. I'll take away that hard heart, that heart that wants nothing to do with my son. I'll take it away. That heart that wants nothing to do with my word, with my people. He says, I'll take it all away and I'll give you a heart of flesh. God says, I'll give you a heart that loves my word. He says, I'll give you a heart that loves my people. He says, I'll give you a heart that loves my son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, that's exactly what God did for me that night. It changed my whole heart. It changed my whole life. And tonight I just love the Lord Jesus Christ so much because of what he has done in my life. Maybe you're thinking, like I used to think, I would love to become a Christian, but I don't think I could go to church 3 days a week. I used to think daft things like that. I don't think I could go to church 3 days a week. I want to tell you this. It's not that you have to go to church 3 days a week. But when you get saved, the Holy Spirit moves in. He takes over. You don't have to go to church 3 days a week. You want to go to church 3 days a week. You can't wait for the prayer meeting. You can't wait for the Bible study. You can't wait for the gospel service. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has now moved in, and he's in complete control, and he craves the things of God, and you crave the things of God. You don't have to go to church. You want to go to church. You want to go to church because God's word is there. You want to go to church because God's son is being talked about. You want to go to church because it's God's church and because God's people are there. And you want to go there. And brothers and sisters, isn't it wonderful that we have that desire to do just that? And I want to add this also, that if you say that you're a Christian, you profess faith in Jesus Christ, and you don't have those desires to go, then there's a very serious problem in your life. Because if when you're born again, the Holy Spirit moves in and he demands these things for a Christian. And if you don't desire them, then there's a serious problem in your life. Unsaved friends, before we finish, before we bring the meeting to a close, let me encourage you to put your trust in the only Savior. You know, Easter's approaching. And next week, well, not only next week, every day we celebrate how that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died and rose again from the dead. And, you know, when I think about that, you can look at all the world religions. You can try the world religions. But what have they all got in common? I'll tell you what they've got in common. A dead Savior. What have the Mormons got? The Mormons have Joseph Smith. Where is he? He's still in the grave. What do the JWs have? Charles Taze Russell. Where is he? He's still in the grave. Where's Muhammad of the great Islamic faith? He's dead and buried and in the faith. He's in the grave. But brothers and sisters, in Jesus Christ, we've far more to offer. We have a Savior in Jesus Christ who suffered for your sins, who bled, who died, and who rose again from the dead. And tonight our Lord Jesus Christ has conquered death, he's conquered the grave, and he's the one that we're encouraging you to put your trust in. Just believe in him. Believe that Jesus, the Son of God, came into this world, died for your sins, and rose again from the dead. And the Bible says this, that if we believe in him, we shall be saved. Please don't go walking out the door again without the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure that Pastor Lyle or any of the men in here would just love to take time to talk to you and to point you to the wonderful Saviour in Jesus. Friends, there's no salvation outside of Him. You can try anything, you can try everything. It's all going to lead to failure. It's all going to lead to hell. But the Word of God tells us that when we trust in Jesus, we become born again, we become saved. And He says that one day He's coming back to take us home. I don't know when it is. It could be tonight, it could be next week, it could be next year. I don't know when it is. But the Bible says if we're not saved, we're going to be left behind. Don't leave it too late. Come tonight. Put your trust in Him. Accept Him as your Savior. Accept Him as your Lord. Put Him right in at the center of your life. That's the advice I was given. That's the advice I have taken. That's the advice I'm going to give you. Trust in Him. And put Jesus at the center of your life and live for Him. Amen. Maybe you can open your hymn book, please, at 220. 220, and we'll stand to sing the words, "Just as I am, without one plea, but Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou biddest me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come." 220, and we'll stand to sing, please.
Thank you.
God has been speaking to anyone here tonight, maybe you've gone cold in your love towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't you stay behind and speak to someone? Or maybe if you're just a visitor here tonight, you've come in. Don't think that you've come in of your own free will. You've been led here by God. The Holy Spirit has brought you here tonight to hear something that you should hear. Please don't be thinking that you're too bad, that you're beyond God's redemption. No one's beyond God's redemption. Put your trust in Him. Don't be leaving tonight. God is giving you another opportunity to get right with Him. Take that opportunity. Believe in Him. Put your trust in Him. And let God set you free. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word, that Thy word is forever settled in heaven. And Father, that faith still cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Father, we've done all that we can do. Father, we realize that salvation is totally of the Lord. And Father, tonight now we just ask that You will glorify Thine own great name and the salvation of precious souls. Father, part us now and take us to our homes in safety, for we ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen.